to start with a bit of a hot statement, but it does make sense in the end. And it's this. Not all scripture is equal. Our Sunday school answers are, our creedal affirmation says, but it is. All scripture is breathed by the word of God and is appropriate for the teaching and the admonition of all people. That's the recitation. But that's our article of faith. That's how we think about it. But that's not how we operate, usually. It's the whole value of the text is there, but we use different parts of the text in a different way. We turn to the historical narratives of the Old Testament for getting into the history of how God works and telling the great stories of creation and faith. The prophets incline us to hear the justice of God and God's desire for something new, something different, something whole in the world. Even our eschatological literature, the books about the end of time, Revelation and Daniel and the others, we are challenged by the depictions of judgment and retribution, as well as glory and honor and praise. And we don't always know what to do with it. We don't always know where to turn or how to use it. Add to that the fact that we often use the text as a bit of a blunt object, that if we really want to make a point, if we really want to have an argument with somebody, we say, well, this is what the Bible says, so there. Even those extended genealogies of the Old Testament have their place and their purpose, especially on those occasions when you're looking for an effective non-narcotic sleep aid. We have the whole breadth and width of the story of God and God's people speaking to different elements of life and different functions of faith. And we are often given to just simply looking for something nice on a given occasion. Or something that we just like, that's tuneful to our ear or might go well on the wall. And the Psalms generally fit in the latter of these categories. They're not part of our theological core, but they're part of our vocabulary of faith and of living that we just like a lot. And the fact that they fit well into Psalms as well goes all that well. A couple months ago, I offered an online sermon where I talked about the different parts and menus of the Psalms and how they work in our lives and the different ways of thinking about those. And in that sermon, I went really quickly through these three broad categories. And by the way, I don't blame you for not remembering. I don't think any of you do because, time is kind of just stopped. So, there it is. But on that occasion, I offered these three broad categories of the way that Psalms work in our lives as words of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. And I just shot through those like nobody's business without really getting into them. But I think they're important enough that we need to go back and maybe spend a little bit of time of what do each of these mean? How do they work? What are their purposes in life and in faith and in living? At the end of it all, the Psalms speak to us with a wide variety of life and living, placing all of our world into conversation with the way of God. But yeah, we don't often come here. Sure, we read them at funerals and whatnot, but if we're looking for theological heft, Saul's are not where we go. And in the Anabaptist tradition especially, where we're really given to saying that what the text ought to be is something to prove our points, we don't often look for the inspiration, the comfort, or just the basic reflection of what the world is here and now. And we're poorer for it. So I want to come back and sit with these ideas as a way of opening the Psalms to us. The first of these categories are that of orientation. And this is the Psalm that we have here. It's the Psalm that I just read. It's the orientation Psalms are the ones that we know well and know best because they're the ones that say, this is who and what God is and how God functions and sings the praises there. It's the Psalms that we know best and that we're shaped by. If you were to give me a cue of there's a spot in Indiana, I'm fairly likely to launch off of that cue with where the leafy maple grows and sing you the rest of the Goshen College alma mater. And I don't get there so much because I'm a proud maple leaf, a truly intimidating athletic solution if I've ever heard one, but rather simply because it's such a weird, wonderfully awkward song in four parts that sounds like something out of a prep school and leaves you with Goshen College ever singing, to our motto will be true. Honor to our master bringing, alma mater, we love you. What's there not to like? Sounds like something that was dreamt up on a pub night. I go there because it does, for whatever else it is, and it is a weird little tune, it does what it wants us to do. It brings us back to who are we, what are we about, and what is our mission. In short, it orients us towards the affection that we have for a place and a mission and an idea right there. And that's what orientation songs do. They tell the story of the world as we would prefer it to be and to know it to be. And that's why we love them so much. We keep coming back to them time and again because they resonate in our soul and says, this is what God is, where God is moving, and how God is to be praised in the whole world. And they're upbeat, and they're declarative of the goodness of the Lord, come what may. Which is not to say that there is not content here. You don't hear it in the English, of course, but a lot of the Psalms are poetry forms in the Hebrew. This Psalm goes all the way through the Hebrew alphabet as an acrostic. So you have Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Himmel, on down, starting each line as you go. So it's meant to be memorized. It's meant to be sung. It's meant to be used in the life of the congregation. In the light of the glory of Yahweh and the power of the Word of God and created the universe, the Creator is brought to see the awe and power of the Most High. It's only appropriate that we send these out here under the creation of the sky and see the world as it is. What the psalmist seems to ask is for us to be reminded of the way and the will of God, even in the context of the most dire situations of the world. what use are the ways of the powers of war and of machines and of the tanks of the day in compared to God? In compared to the power of the Most High? The people are called in verse 3 to sing a new song and to take a new name for the present provision of the land to be given and to embrace the logic of God with us. The way of God is not only to be praised, though it is that too, but also to be modeled and to be lived in as a reality by the people of Israel. God's own people are invited into the orientation in new and powerful ways. Orientation serves the purpose of constructing our world as it should be and inviting us time and again to step into that construction and to see the vision of a saving, loving, and powerful God. Our faith is based on the identity of God. The psalmist seems to offer here a logic that goes beyond the simple building blocks of rational argument that we often use in the text, and rather simply says, guys, look. Look around you. When you see God and when you see goodness, how can anything else be amiss? You're oriented to the true foundation of hope, to the true nature of who God is. And we're called time and again to come back to that orientation, to that foundation, and know it to be secure and to live it in there. And we need this in our praising logic. It is this logic of praise, of remembering who and what God is and how God lives in life, and calls us to a new song, a new life, and a new world. Especially when the present world may or may not make any sense to us right now. It helps us to remember that the world, as complex as it is, as maddening as it may be, is not, at the end of the day, resting on our shoulders alone, but is being created still by the very Word of God. God is the God who is actively forming the world with a Word, who loves righteousness and justice, who fills the earth with mercy, who foils the plans of nations, who fills the empty with food, whose eyes are on all of God's children. God is the God in whom we have a new song to sing, a new story to tell, a new hope that never dies. God is the God where we are called to boundaryless nationhood, where God is Yahweh, and whose promise is fruitful and unending and unalterable love. Which is not to say that this is the only language of the Psalms. It's an orientation that's worth celebrating and worth being shaped by all the time, but it's not all that we get. And we'll get there in the coming weeks. But we need to start here. We need to start where we're shaped, where we're founded, where our roots lie. It is precisely because these proclamations are not always our first language or come readily or easily to mind and to mouth that we need to turn to them time and again. We believe these things truly and fully, deep down in our hearts, that this is who and what God is, but that's not always the ready reality of our lives. And by being oriented again, it says, ah, yes, even here God exists. Even here God is good. Even here God moves. There are times where we need others to sing this song for us, and where this tune is not ours for our souls to carry. And that too is okay. It's exactly the fact that this praise of God is not always our first song. That doesn't mean that orientation is somehow lost on us. sometimes we need precisely this sort of reminder of the truer nature of the world to help us put one foot in front of the other, to keep on moving towards the fullness of creation, fully healed, fully known, fully just. May we ever be oriented towards the God who comes towards us and embraces us, come what may. Amen.